I'm Sita from the Nutrition Project. I'm a consulting nutritionist. I hold a double master's in nutrition from Mumbai University as well as University College London. And I practice from a place of and from the principles of intuitive eating and health at every size. These are relatively new millennial approaches to eating. It's of course evidence-based and scientific, which means that there are over 100 research papers that have been published about intuitive eating. I wish to bring intuitive eating to India, and because it's honestly, it's in two words, if I can describe it, it's food freedom, and it's something that we need to get back to, getting back to normal eating. I hold a special interest in the pediatric, which is children and young adult population. And my company, Nutrition Project, aims in consulting and in clinical nutrition for this population. And Jashan, over to you.
Thanks. So, hi guys. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jashan Sippy. I have a background in architecture, and I'm the founder of Sugar and Space, which is a food-focused design and innovation agency, creating meaningful connections for a sustainable food future. So our work is sort of really focused on multi-sensory perception of food, as well as architecture. And that's how we sort of connect the two in all of our work. So I think diving into it, Sheeta, I might ask you, what is mindful eating? If you can sort of break that down for us.
Right. So you know, when we speak about mindful eating, I think what I was even discussing with Jashan is that, you know, everyone thinks it is like this completely zen thing and this yogi thing where like you're supposed to like meditate and eat and all of that. And it's honestly not, there is a scientific aspect to it as well. So if I can read out a definition that was, it was mentioned in a 2017 scientific paper. It describes mindfulness or mindful eating as paying attention in a particular way on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. So however mystic that sounds, it is written in a scientific paper. And being able to eat mindfully basically is being able to pay attention to your food on purpose in the present moment, extremely non-judgmentally. So I've come up with this acronym called PPAN, which talks about each of these words in the definition. P for purpose, P for present moment, A for attention, N for non-judgmental. So zooming into each of these words, which is really important, the first word about paying attention, it really is about creating that behavioral shift. As we know, any you know, food, any diet that you want to follow or any health goal that you want to achieve doesn't happen if there is no behavioral shift in the long run. And the idea of doing it purposely and consciously is kind of that tool to make you pay attention and to help you get into that zone of mindfulness. So it's kind of like the tool. Being present in the moment, honestly, it changes your entire approach to food. It gives you this kind of sense of what to eat and how to eat. And it's in your hands again, rather than having, you know, food rules and having, you know, getting confused with the media and getting confused with all these crazy messages going around about what to eat and what not to eat. So while focusing the way we can be present, I think it's a good idea to focus on the sensory aspects of food, which I think we're going to be talking about this in this session a lot. And it's not common that the fact that, and it's not coincidental that the fact that within this mindful approach, the person's choices are often to eat lesser because they've kind of already paid attention to their food. So they're satisfied to a certain extent, and they've savored the food more, and they select the foods consistent to to desirable health benefits as well, because with being present, you also start, there is an element of self-care that comes in. And once that self-care comes in, we start recognizing nutrient-rich foods, not saying that, you know, there is a different place for foods that are have less nutrients in them, but and all foods are equal, but the fact is that we start looking at food, eating nutrient-rich foods more often as well, from a place of self-care rather than I hate my body, I want to change my body and all of that. There are certain papers that have shown that mindfulness and eating, mindful eating especially, is associated with weight loss, but it's the evidence is very sparse, and more studies need to be done on that. So again, the main aim is not weight loss here. I'm just saying that there is a scientific aspect to this entire mystical approach that we kind of look at mindfulness to be.
Fabulous. So I know that you sort of practice this mindful relationship with food with your clients. So can you sort of tell us a little bit about how that works?
So in the practice of nutrition and therapeutic dietetics, I think it's very important to, you know, even look at the different guidelines of different countries. So the French recommendation guideline actually says that, and I quote, I
can remember. Mommy, Frio?
Can we just...
Sorry, I request you to mute your audio.
Yeah, so the French national recommendations actually say, and I quote, that eating is one of the life's greatest pleasures, and eating well means not only being satisfied, but also eating in a good and tasty environment. And I think that encapsulates what I think we're also trying to say through this session so well, because we often, a lot of us focus so much on the nutrients of the food, and I can't eat this, and I don't want to eat this, and all, but hello, what do you really want to eat in the first place? And once we start tuning in to what we want to eat, a lot of the overeating is curbed. A lot of the nibbling is curbed. A lot of the grazing is curbed. So if you're asking me as a dietitian, you know, like a traditional dietitian, okay, what are the benefits of eating mindfully? I can tell you that the amount of energy being consumed would be probably lesser in most cases than someone who's not eating mindfully, because and energy in terms of calories, because you're not fully satisfied with what you're eating when you're not eating mindfully. So I often do this exercise with my clients as well, where we focus on the sensory aspects of food, and it's called a hypersensitization exercise, where they really understand, and it's kind of looking at food in a very different way, being fully present with the food, in a way appreciating the food, in a way appreciating the sensory aspects of the food, the texture, color, flavor of the food, and then they can make that decision as to whether they want to eat the food or whether they don't want to eat the food in the first place. You know, that entire power comes back to them. So this is called the I eat exercise. It's called the I eat kind of exercise. And the script is developed by Evelyn Chiboli and Elise Reich, who are registered dietitians in the US, and they're the founders of Intuitive Eating as well. So what do you want to start off with? Let's do this exercise, I think, with everyone. What do you think?
Sure, I'd be happy to facilitate it. So just a quick reminder, have some nuts, or I have some raisins with me and a piece of paper. And I think Ishita has a biscuit today. So I think anything that's sort of bite-sized you can sort of use for this exercise. And we'll take a moment if you sort of need to grab the stuff. We'll wait for you, but otherwise we're good to go. Yeah.
Would you want everyone's camera on for this?
Well, ideally, if you feel comfortable, please switch your camera on. But of course, there's no sort of compulsion. So Ishita and I are going to do this exercise with you. So Ishita is going to share her screen really quickly to show you a little grid that we've developed. So on your piece of paper, if you want to note down this grid so you can replicate it, so you can fill it in as we're doing the exercise, you'll see that in a minute.
Can everyone see the screen?
Yep, perfect. So just sort of the, yes, right here. Just make a 9-square grid. And just note down the titles in each. So you're going to have color, shape, texture, temperature, taste, mouthfeel, smell, memory, and sound. Yeah, so I'll give you guys a minute to sort of, replicate the grid in this way. Super simple, just so that you can sort of participate in the exercise.
I think it's very important to have this non-judgmental approach to eating, because, and I encourage you to do that while we're doing this exercise as well, because once we start, labeling, there isn't anything like good food and bad food, and nutrition is not that simple. It's very nuanced, it's very complicated, and for us as dietitians, it's also very important for y'all to have this healthy relationship with food, to be able to look at food as a friend. And I remember last time when we had another workshop, Jashan, we spoke about how food can be that reliable friend. And having this healthy relationship with food also includes making peace with food and making peace with all kinds of food, and all the cakes and the pastries, as well as the biscuits and whatever. And of course, this is if you don't have any health conditions and dietary restrictions. So yeah, I encourage you to be non-judgmental when we do this exercise.
All right, so place your food on a plate or a napkin in front of you, and just really sit comfortably in your chair and take a couple of deep breaths in. So we'll do that together with you. So with this, we're really trying to get ourselves to feel relaxed and calm and let go of any judgment that we are holding on to. It's important, take your time and don't rush into any of the experiences that we're going to follow with. Okay. So, now you have your food in front of you. We're going to first focus on the sense of vision or sight. So without touching your food, notice how it looks on the plate or the napkin. So really gaze on it with curiosity, as if you've never ever seen this item of food before. So it is something you're familiar with, but try and look at it as if you're seeing it for the first time. So you'll probably notice something about the color, something about its shape, something about any nooks, crannies, or shadows that it's sort of casting on the surface that it's sitting on. Really think about how you describe this to this observation to someone who's never seen this food before. There's no right and wrong way of describing your observation. Just notice and engage your eyes. So take a couple of minutes, and in your grid, let's address color, shape, and maybe if you can talk about texture a little bit. So we'll just jot down a few words that come to your mind. Again, you're trying to describe this to someone who's never seen it. So how would you sort of maximize your description of the color, the shape and the texture. Fab, just give me a thumbs up if you're sort of ready with this step. Okay, great. Now pick up the food and place it in your palm on your hand. And just really start noticing maybe how it feels in your hand. You know? And again, now you're not looking at it, you're purely talking about touch. Perhaps it's smooth. Maybe it's rough. Does it have any sharp edges? Is it crumbly? Maybe it's sticky. Maybe if you apply too much pressure on it, it breaks, it's brittle. And maybe it's crusty. Think about the weight. Is it heavy or light? And again, there is no right or wrong way to describe the physical sensation of touch. Just notice and really feel the texture. Notice the temperature. So on our grid, let's talk about temperature. Let's talk about texture, and maybe you want to add something in about the shape as well. Again, just give me a heads up when you're sort of ready. Bye. Next thing we're going to address is our sense of smell. So place your nose near the food and gently inhale. What does the food smell like? Is there a particular scent? Maybe there's a hint of vanilla. Maybe there's a minty smell to it. Maybe something chocolatey, something spicy, or something pungent. Is the scent subtle or is it strong? There is no right or wrong way to experience aroma, just notice. And we're going to address the two boxes of smell and memory. So if this smell kind of reminds you of anything, just make note of it. And again, just give me a little thumbs up if you're ready. Fab. So now you have a very small piece of food probably in your hand, unless you have a biscuit. But I want you to take a small bite of the food and carefully listen to what you hear as you take a bite. perhaps it's crunchy, crackly, dull, slurpy, wispy. There is no right and wrong way to describe what you hear. Just really listen and notice the sounds that your teeth are making, your jaw is making, and the food is making in your mouth.
Hi, I'm sorry, one of my friends are joining and they can't enter the room exactly.
I'll allow them in.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, if you're ready for the next step, just give me a thumbs up. Great. Now, without taking another bite, just roll what is sort of left over in your mouth and notice how it feels. Is the texture rough, crumbly, dry, sticky, moist, light, something else? Resist the urge to chew anymore. Just really roll whatever is left over in your mouth to notice the mouthfeel. Notice how the texture of the food is changing as it sort of sits on your tongue. Perhaps it's beginning to get a bit soggy, to disintegrate. Maybe it's becoming stringy or sharp. There's no right or wrong way to describe the sensation of the food in your mouth. Just notice and feel the texture gradually change. Make note of this in mouthfeel.
I finished in my mouth. Can I take another bite?
Yeah, of course. And again, listen to it as you take that bite. You might think of something. Right, again, a little thumbs up if you're ready. Tap. Taste. So how does the food taste? Is there an aspect of sweetness? Something sour, bitter, salty, pungent, bland? For those experts, a little bit of umami? What happens to the taste of food as it sits on your tongue? Does it get stronger? Or maybe it becomes subtle and less distinct. Are new flavors emerging as the food has dissolved on your tongue? There's no right or wrong way to describe your sense of taste. Just notice the nuance of flavors and note them down under taste. Now you can choose whatever's left over, and when you feel ready, just swallow it completely and notice how the food feels as it's traveling down your throat. And if you have any other thoughts, you can sort of note them down again. I'd encourage you to take another bite, so take another piece if you need to, and repeat this entire process looking at your grid again to really break down all these aspects. So now, without telling us what your item of food was, maybe any of you would like to share what you noticed about it, and perhaps we could guess what your food item was. Anyone wants to share?
Can I go first?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So for the color, I would say it was a little sandy. It was rustic, has a slight shade of skin color base in there, and it's kind of brown. Then for the shape, it was rocky. It was brain-like looking. I guess now everyone has the catch, but let's wait. Then texture-wise, it was quite oily. It's quite rough. For me, the temperature, since I had taken it off from the fridge, it was like quite cold, and within the time that I was gulping it down, then it slightly started to get warm, and like it was nice. It was a good mouthfeel. For the taste, it was bittersweet. For the mouthfeel, it was soggy and it was very rustic. For smell, it was earthy. It was like eucalyptus to me, and it was very leafy. For a memory, I would say it's, after the smell, I would actually understand that, you know, the fresh mud, wet mud smell from the rains or the monsoons, like that's what is the closest I could have when you smell it. Even the ambience affected it, of course, but still. And for the sound, it was more of whooshing. So like the waves, the sound of the waves. So it was like rippling and whooshing, and it was crumbly. So yeah, I guess you all can guess now. Yeah, I think someone has already.
I think I know what it is. Anyone else want?
Yeah, I think everyone knows it now.
Come on, give it a shot. Anyone?
Walnut.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's up for a win. It's a walnut.
I love how you described it as bittersweet. I think that's such an accurate description, which we don't really think about when we're sitting and chomping down walnuts so much.
Yeah, it's more like an aftertaste that comes in So you have that on your mouth till in the end. So like still I have a little bitterish flavor in my mouth.
It's quite cool. I quite like that.
I wonder, are you a chef?
Yes, I am. Says it all.
Only you couldn't describe it so well.
Waiting to guess yours now.
Anyone else want to give it a shot? Yeah, Ruchita.
Sorry. So what I had was yellow in color and slightly translucent. It had it was oval, but some pieces were semicircle and some were broken. Then it had a bubbly texture, and it had a texture like a concrete wall. So when you touch a concrete wall, it feels. Then it tasted salty, and you just cannot stop at one bite. You want to take a next bite. You just cannot resist. Then after, the mouthfeel was soggy, and like the when there's little left in it, felt like it had that noise texture that you, I don't know how to describe it, the noise texture. Okay. Then it had this oily smell, like when you smell it, you know it's fried, and oily and a salty smell. And it reminded me of the birthday parties that I attended as a child. And the sound was crunchy. I think it's pretty apparent.
Anyone want to get?
Did banana chips?
Okay, it's close.
Your chips.
Want to tell us, Ruchita, what it is?
Okay, it's potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's particularly interesting, especially the childhood birthday party thing. And it just goes to show how, you know, certain, like, just that sense of smell has sort of taken you to that place as well. Fab. So, Ishita, you want to sort of take us through the next step then?
Right.
What can we do with this?
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, right now we're marveling at the small micro tastes and the textures and the things that we've drawn our attention to, which we usually don't do in our daily life when we're eating. And the idea is to bring this entire hypersensitization to our daily life, which we'll talk about how we're going to do. But now let's try applying these questions. So I have a few questions for y'all, which again, we're going to open for discussion. The first question is, can you see the screen yet? Right. So the first question is, how did this hypersensitive eating exercise compare with your usual process of eating? You don't have to write it down. If you want, we can just speak about it. Jashan, do you want to start?
Sure. So what are we really looking at with this question? What are we trying to address?
So what I want to ask is, do you usually look at all of these aspects when you're eating your meal? Are you looking at the color? Are you looking at the taste? Did you, if you'd have that nut earlier, would you think, or would that description of the taste come to you when you're eating it? I'm not saying go all MasterChef level, but with something, how is it compared to your normal eating experience?
Sure. Is there anyone else who wants to share? Because I'm happy to.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak. So, you know, just for example, like Ruchita said, she had the potato chips, and I'm imagining them to be like, you know, either a Lay's or just a sort of a, you know, the fried chips we get from the thing. If we didn't do this exercise, I don't think we would have spent so much time eating that one or two pieces of chips. We would probably be done with half the packet by now and not even realize, probably just eating it endlessly. And, you know, it doesn't even fill much of your, I mean, Ishita, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't fill your stomach as much. You're just eating it because, you know, it's just to keep your hands busy, your mouth busy, something of that sort. And I think everyone who eats potato chips can relate to that. No one's eating it, you know, as a meal or as a, you know, something to fill your stomach.
Yeah, I think what you said, Sanja, was really important. That, again, we're not saying that potato chips are bad or good or whatever. Everything depends on context, the quantity, so many other things. But my point is that something so generic that we've been having for so long, she was able to describe with so much, you know, like in such detail. So for example, I'd love to share the fact that when I had my almond, the taste I got was, of course, there's that sweet almond taste, but then there was also this woody, smoky taste that I was getting, which I don't think I would have ever, you know, if we didn't do this hypersensitive exercise, I wouldn't have paid attention to it otherwise. So it's just picking up on these small things that I think we need to start doing in and applying in our daily life. Anyone else wants to share how this compares to your normal eating? Do y'all do this normally? Do y'all not do this? There are no right or wrong answers.
I'd like to share something. Normally when we eat, we just eat with our eyes. We just look at the food and we're just like, wow, the colors look exciting, this, that, and just want to taste it and quickly put it in your mouth and get the taste on your tongue. But this time it was like everything getting involved, like your senses getting involved in that. I just had a walnut actually and it tasted so good. It tasted nutty, then it had an aftertaste, and I mean, it's realizing certain things that when you eat slowly and you have your senses and everything, when how you, it's different. It's really different. It's something else. I will definitely like eat my food a little better now, just taste and eat slowly, and you know, right. It's really good, really good.
Okay, let's move on to the next question then. So this was a very structured exercise where Jashan was guiding us through, you know, how much time to spend on each sensory cue. But how much time do y'all in your daily eating spend on each of these nine elements that we've spoken about? That it, again, there's no right and wrong answer. This is just all of us helping each other.
And I think what Meena sort of just said was... Yeah. Maybe we look at it and then we sort of eat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sort of lose or we don't pay conscious attention to a lot of the other elements. So really, I think it's worth considering how it could maybe change the way we're perceiving our food and ultimately getting satisfied or feeling full by just considering all these aspects.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, do you take time to think about the texture and the mouthfeel of the food, for example, when you're eating daily?
For me personally, I think I always look for some kind of crunch. So I feel that extends from sound as a sensory cue as well as to mouthfeel. Mm. So I definitely, I mean, if it's a simple meal like a dal chawal, I want a papad with it and it feels incomplete without that. But I, in general, I think over any dish, even like a dessert, I want something that's sort of a contrasting texture. But it's not necessarily a very, I don't think of it as one of nine elements, right?
Mm, spending equal amounts of time on each of these elements, the way we've spent. Okay, swiftly moving on to the next question. So... just wrapping up this exercise, how did paying attention to sensory aspects contribute to the satisfaction of the food? And I think Meena beautifully said how, you know, it tasted so well. But if anyone else wants to share how more satisfied you felt or less satisfied you felt after having this particular thing? Anyone?
Yeah, sure. Could I speak?
Sure.
So I had a biscuit, usually I do like the taste, usually it also does go with my tea, but this time obviously I had it plain, and it's kind of contrary to like liking it, because I usually love it, but yeah, this time because like I noticed the texture that much, I didn't really enjoy it. Maybe it's because I didn't have it with the tea, but for example, like if you kept it in your mouth for too long, it was kind of dry, and the taste really didn't suit me like for a long time. But I guess like that's when you realize like I don't actually like the biscuit. I just like the crunch of the biscuit and the taste of the tea. So that's what I got out of it.
So this is insane, because this is exactly what I was trying to get at, that once we start becoming more mindful with what we're eating, the power comes back to us as to whether the last question is, okay, so do I even like this in the first place? You know, do I even want to eat this in the first place? And it's not only with, let's say, calorie dense foods, with the cakes and the biscuits and the khakra and the whatever, the all the party foods. It is also with your healthy foods. Like, try having a piece of avocado, try having a piece of this, and just see whether you actually even like it, and are you actually feeling satisfied with it? And that is what kind of makes a difference and gets that power back to you, I think, in the first place. Jashan, do you want to say anything?
I think it's strange, but I'm kind of feeling full after eating two almonds. but I mean, on a serious note, so how can we sort of, I don't know, be mindful in our everyday life around this? Or do we have to sort of sit with this checklist like ridiculous people at the table every day and make notes to sort of be conscious? Is there sort of, how can we sort of make this a part of our everyday life?
So the way we make this work, right, because we see that there's so many distractions, and so there are two aspects that I want to address, okay? The first aspect is trying to attain the satisfaction. I didn't stop sharing this. So the first aspect is that we're trying to attain that satisfaction of eating. Again, I'm reiterating, this exercise is not to, you know, starve yourself and eat less, not at all. It is for us to tune into ourselves and understand how much is enough, right? So to be able to know that true satisfaction, I think you're going to realize also the hunger level at which you eat gives you that satisfaction. So for example, if you're eating at when you're super ravenous, you're not going to feel that satiety at all. You're not going to enjoy the food at all. You're just going to eat and eat and eat. But when you're eating, when you're mildly hungry, or when that what I call pleasant hunger is occurring, you're going to be able to enjoy the food more. You're going to have that mental power to even process half of these sensory aspects of what we've spoken about. So getting in the entire idea of being able to recognize your hunger and satiety signals before even jumping into the sensory aspect of it. The next thing is, again, the mental chatter that's going on, which starts with also making peace with food, right? So if you're constantly saying, I'm feeling guilty, I don't want to eat this, I don't want to eat this, you're not going to feel satisfied, right? And again, this is, we're talking about not putting labels on food. Once we start, again, understanding the food and seeing it for what it is, that's when I think even when it's with health food, for example, I'm supposed to eat this, I'm not supposed to eat this, that takes away the joy from the food. Another thing is, once that happens, you truly get to know what you really want to eat and what you really feel like eating. And then again, we can enhance the sensory aspects. For example, we can enhance the appearance of the food, and we can make the plate look more colorful. Of course, Jashan is going to speak about enhancing, let's say, the environment around and all of that. But looking at the plate, you need to be appealed, or you need to be drawn towards the plate to want to eat it. And I think adding in color, that's the best part. And adding in color by putting in different, you know, fruits, vegetables, dal, roti, rice, curd is white, and it's just a different, varied diet, and that also brings variety into your diet. So your dietitian is the happiest when that happens. So it all kind of interconnects at the end of it. But as a consumer or as a normal person, I think you just need to start addressing the sensory aspects of food, and you should be fine with that. Coming to the whole distracted part of it, which we promised we'd speak about, you know, the Netflix watching while eating food, and the binge and all the Instagram scrolling and all of that. It's just, I get it. I get that our lives are really hectic. I get that this is probably the only downtime we have. And we've also addressed this during emotional eating, that it's not necessary to be eating just because you want to take a break, you know, and we've discussed this in detail when we had the emotional eating class. But just bringing that back, I think, ideally, dissociating yourself from distracted behavior, such as watching TV or scrolling on Instagram, will help you start appreciating the sensory aspects of it. Because I don't see how you're going to be, seeing all those nine elements when you're actually glued to the screen. And but then supposing now you want to work on and you think, okay, I can't go cold turkey and just stop watching screens at all. What you can do is have this sensory focal point, right? So maybe not all nine elements, but at least one. So you can choose either color or texture or taste. And this is even relevant for when you have those crazy thoughts going on in your head and you're distracted when you're eating. You may be sitting on the table and eating, but your mind is somewhere else, you know, as our parents say, why is your mind everywhere else? Please eat and focus on the food. So the way you can draw yourself back to your plate, and this is kind of like a trick, is that you have this one sensory focal point, like let's say color, and you gently try to draw your attention back to the color of the food. Okay, doesn't have to be all nine aspects 100% of the time. And once that happens, automatically you're drawn towards the present moment again. You're becoming mindful again. That being said, I feel like mindfulness or being able to eat mindfully is more like we have to keep exercising it. It's like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the more you do it, the more you engage in it, the stronger it gets. And I guess that's the way we try to kind of apply it in our daily life and routine. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Jashan, we can't hear you.
Great, yeah. Thank you. So as an architect who works with food, we spend a lot of time sort of at the studio analyzing, modifying, and sort of designing environments for eating, right? And I wanted to show you a little sketch, if you haven't already seen it, of our mascot. So we believe that by considering food, which is inside your body, and space, which is around your body, together, you can really account for unforgettable multisensory experiences, right? So it's extremely important to sort of tune your environment, just like we've just focused on the internal aspect of you and your sensory cues, right? And hypersensitization, to really examine your environment. So I also have a little sort of mental checklist that I'm going to run through with you. So first is examine your eating environment, okay? So that includes simple things like lighting. And this might just be me, but a pet peeve is when I go into an eating place like a restaurant or a cafe, if I have a light that is sort of super bright or very low and it's sort of shining in my eyes or it's too dark so I can't see my food, I'm uncomfortable through the meal. Right? So it's extremely important to sort of adjust lighting levels so you're not feeling too much heat or not too much darkness or too much light. Also, and this is another big one, and when I say it, you'll be like, yes, obviously. Think of temperature and wind speed. So if you are sitting directly under, let's say, a ceiling fan and it's on speed 4 while you're trying to eat, you're not going to be sort of comfortable at all. Or you're sitting in front of an AC vent, you're going to be freezing and not be able to focus on your food. So really consider lighting as well as sort of ambient temperature and wind speed and adjust it or adjust your position to make yourself more comfortable, right? Next is decluttering. And I think especially currently with the situation and work from home, and sometimes we're forced to sort of have a quick meal while working or in general at the office in our normal lives, decluttering your environment before you eat is super important. So like Meena said, that we eat with our eyes, it's so true. So just get rid of clutter in the sense of if there's newspapers, papers, your phone, a laptop on your desk, just sort of put it away for, it's 10 minutes and it takes 2 minutes to put away, but it will really make a big difference to allowing you to enjoy your meal peacefully and savor each of the flavors. Next is think about ambient sound. Now, I personally hate when I can hear bartans and sort of dishes being washed while I'm eating, right? And that sort of, again, distracts you from you know, focusing on your food. But it not only does that, it sort of again alters the pace at which, you know, maybe that you feel like you have to rush through your meal. So if you really think about how certain restaurants play certain styles of music to create a certain ambience, you could replicate that at your home right now. Because yes, we're unable to, let's say, go out to our favorite restaurants, but they create ambience. So really consider the element of sound, and you could start modifying the way you perceive it. For me, if I run to pop music on the treadmill, I'm running super fast. If I'm listening to jazz music, I'm not necessarily pumping. Maybe the same kind of logic could apply to how we chew, right? Next is to really focus on how you are feeling, right? So tune in and let go of any sort of stress before you start eating. So like we did deep breaths before our hypersensitization exercise, just a couple of deep breaths, and this is not, you don't have to go to a dining table at a restaurant and like, you know, get into this kind of zone. It's not required. You can just sort of do this internally, check in with yourself and see how you're feeling to really be able to enjoy your meal. The next thing is food availability, scarcity and insecurity. So sometimes, and now it's been happening more often now that we're at home, if you're still eating and someone comes to start clearing the table, you start feeling rushed, right? And then you might just start putting more food into your plate because you think it's going away without actually thinking, do I want more food? Or am I just taking it because I may not have it, right? So this element of give yourself maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes after you finish your meal at the table to sort of have a nice, meaningful, engaging conversation with the people around you. And really let the food sort of settle and be mindful about how and what it's doing for your body. And then finally, I think it's very important to also check that you have a complete table setting. Because let's say you wanted to add salt to your meal, or you needed a knife to cut something that you're eating, but you didn't set the table correctly. You're going to keep getting up in the middle of your meal to go and bring something. And that sort of, again, completely breaks your sort of chain of thought, how comfortable you are, and affects your overall satisfaction with the meal. So that is a few of the external factors that play very important roles in the way you're perceiving food. Is Ishita here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you see?
Great. Yeah.
So I just wanted to add, because you spoke about tuning in, and I just want to add something called, so there's this term for tuning in, scientific term for it is called interoceptive awareness, which we all have. It's just that we ignore it. It's this idea where, like, even if you try to, feel your heartbeat, you can feel it. And that is the awareness you have that, yeah, my heart is beating because I can feel it. That is the most, it's the most obvious interoceptive awareness. But your hunger cues, your satiety cues, the cues your stomach is telling you, like, hey, I'm full, or I'm a little hungry, or no, I don't want this, you know. Those cues are something that we need to start tuning into. We need to start catering to our interoceptive awareness. We need to start, and that happens by removing most distractions, by coming back to the present, and that's what we call a sensory specific satiety, right? So sensory specific satiety is when you're once you keep checking in with yourself while you're eating, you're going to start realizing that so for example, in the beginning of the meal and you're checking in, you're like, you're telling your body is telling you that, hey, I'm hungry. And then slowly at the middle of the meal, it's like, okay, I'm full. And then you just keep asking yourself, okay, is this even still tasting good? Do I still even want to eat this more? Is the texture still nice? Is the aroma still appealing? And what you really find out, and what most of my clients realize, is that it's like, I've become so choosy after this and so picky after this. And I said, yeah, I mean, it's not... sometimes we just, and as even Sanjana had said, like, sometimes we don't realize what we're eating. But once we start tuning into what we want to eat, whether this truly kind of we really want to eat it and it appeals to us, that's when we realize that we have many likes and dislikes, and that's absolutely fine. I think respecting our own likes and dislikes is one of the most important things that we always forget, because we're supposed to eat this and we're supposed to not eat this, you know. Like, I always bring the example of an avocado, which I already did. If you don't like avocado, that's okay. Although it's supposed to be healthy, that's okay. We get our monounsaturated fatty acids from somewhere else. It's absolutely fine. So I think this is what we were trying to talk about today, and help you enjoy food slightly more. And through all of this, we're trying to bring the ooh back into the food. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope y'all can enjoy your meals a little more stress-free, and eat healthily and be happy. And yeah, anything else?
If you have any questions, feel free to unmute yourself and ask. And if you didn't manage to take all these notes down, don't worry. We've put together two sort of surprise worksheets for you with the nutritionist's points for mindful eating, as well as the architect's points for mindful eating.
Thank you.
Sort of have those pointers with you.
Thanks so much. We'll be looking at food in a different way.
I'm so glad.
We won't be rushing and eating. I'll be like concentrating a little bit. How am I feeling now? What am I eating? And a little more awareness. Thank you so much. I mean, I never thought of these angles before.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Glad to have you. Thanks for coming.
And I love your suggestions also for to enjoy the meal. I don't like the disturbance to go by and go back and get salt or something. I get very irritated with that. If the salt is not there in the food and I have to get up. So yeah, good suggestions. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For me also, like, since it works in my profession, as I'm a chef and I would like to know more about food. So this really helps, because now I do notice food, but not the way like you just changed and gave me another perspective to it. So I think that's really something that I would be looking forward and implementing. So thank you so much. It was really nice to hear something different from a different point of view, of course, from a specialist. Oh, great.
Thank you. Okay. Right. And, I mean, if you all want, you all can always pop into our DMs. I think both of us are very active on Instagram. Pop into our DMs, email us if you all want to send in a testimonial or like recommendations or ways we can improve our workshops and anything else. You can just email it to us and we'd be happy to hear. And thank you so much for coming, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Happy eating.
Thank you.
Happy eating.